In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you. Well, if there were ever psalms that we needed to pray, these would be them. I know that we are naturally attracted to the psalms of praise, especially the ones near the end of the book of Psalms. And yet, woven throughout all of the psalms, virtually from the very beginning, and some of the high points in the book of Psalms are the penitential psalms, those that are, in essence, prayers of repentance. And we need these. I mean, those who would say that repentance is something that Christians should do only once and then you better get it right from that point on, or do less and less as life goes on, haven't sat down and read some of the very words from men like King David, who felt the need for repentance not only when they messed up big like with Bathsheba, but throughout their entire lives. These penitential psalms are profound in their depth. What do they teach us about Christian repentance? I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. It's Thursday afternoon, February the 18th. We're going to talk about the penitential psalms. In fact, begin a seven-day weekly series on the psalms. Psalm 6 kicks it off for us with Pastor Todd Peppercorn, and you can join us. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can Twitter us at @IssuesETC. Pastor Todd Peppercorn is pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and he's author of the book, I Trust When Dark My Road, A Lutheran View of Depression. Todd, welcome back.
Thanks. Good to be here. Happy Lent.
Oh, to you as well. We'll have to explain what Happy Lent could possibly mean a little bit later in our conversation. When we spoke with you sometime back about the Psalms of Lament, the Complaint Psalms, you made a point many times in that series that the Complaint Psalms could rightly be understood as the very words of Jesus, our Savior, especially in the midst of his suffering for us at the cross. Can we say the same thing about these penitential psalms? Because Jesus was without sin. He didn't have anything to repent of.
Well, certainly that's true. Jesus didn't have anything to repent of. He is without his own sin, and yet he is with our sin. Well, 2 Corinthians 5, he who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The whole point, or maybe not the whole point, but certainly one of the big points in understanding Lent and understanding the penitential psalms is my own mourning over sin, along with the beautiful reality that Christ mourns over my sin with me and for me, and that he actually does something about it. He suffers on my behalf so that I do not have to suffer eternally. That's really the essence of prayer and repentance during Lent.
How would you define a penitential psalm as opposed to any other kind of psalm there might be?
Well, penitential psalm, that term really came from the 6th century, came from probably from a guy named Cassiodorus. He used this term in a commentary to refer to these seven psalms, Psalm 6, 32, 38, 51, 102, 130, and 143. Probably the most famous of those is Psalm 51, Create in me a clean heart, O God, David's prayer after Nathan accused him of his sin with Bathsheba. So that's really just a term that the church later ascribed to these psalms. Augustine used the same kind of language with several of the psalms, but really the point to the reason that the church has kind of held these up is that these seven psalms express in great detail the anguish or mourning that we feel over sin or that we should have over our sinfulness. So that's really that's really kind of where the term came from, is because they focus so much on our sinfulness and on our need for forgiveness.
If they are only seven among, I mean, as they're classified, one might say, seven among 150, should that give us the impression that repentance is an occasional thing for the Christian, or was an occasional thing for the authors of these Psalms?
Not at all. This is a thread that runs through nearly all of the Psalms, and one of the great beauties and one of the great themes of the Psalms is really this sense that I am free before God to speak the truth, that I am free to confess who I am as a sinner in need of God's mercy and forgiveness, of who I am as someone who does not understand how God works in the world, as we kind of saw in the complaint psalms, and as who I am as someone who is baptized, who has received God's mercy, and who rejoices in salvation. So, you know, during Eastertide, we sing Psalm 98, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things." But that notion that in the Psalms, I am able to enter into and pray with Christ, pray with the church, pray with all of the saints that have gone before us, pray with my Christians, with my fellow Christians throughout the world, that is what this is about, is that I am free to confess who I am before God as a sinner, and that God confesses and speaks to me who I am in his Son Jesus. Those two really go together, and while these may emphasize the sin and mourning aspect more than many others, that's certainly not an exclusive thing to these psalms. I'm sure you could come up with another two or three dozen that could be considered penitential psalms in one way or another.
We discussed this at some length with our pastor's roundtable earlier today on the program, but I would like to review it if we could, and it's necessary before we talk about songs that are penitential. How should we rightly understand confession of sins and what confession, in fact, seeks and really puts its hope in, the absolution for Christ's sake? How should we rightly understand that?
Well, sure. Our catechism teaches us that confession has two parts. First, that we confess our sins, and second, that we receive absolution, that is forgiveness from the past, or from God himself, not doubting but firmly believing that by it our sins are forgiven before God in heaven. There are a lot of terms that I think that Lutherans use a little bit more during Lent than at other times of the year. One of them is penitence, penitential psalms, as we're talking about. Another is repentance. Another is contrition. And even terms like confession, you and I may know what those terms mean because we kind of deal with these things often. But I think that many times our parishioners and probably your listeners too may not have as deep an understanding as we think. I think that's one of the great mistakes that the church often makes, is that we don't actually teach what these things are and what they mean. Confession means very simply speaking the truth. It means speaking the truth about what God, first of all, says about me. God says, "You are a sinner," and I say, "Amen, I'm a sinner." God says, "I forgive you, you are justified," and I say, "Amen, I am baptized into Christ." That is what confession is about, is speaking the truth of who I am according to the law. And what absolution, forgiveness, is about is God speaking the truth to me of who I am because of his Son Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection. That's what confession and absolution is about. That is really what the Christian life is about, is this daily pattern of contrition and repentance, confession and forgiveness, of faith, of recognizing myself left on my own as compared to myself being in Christ and a part of his of his body, the church.
With that understanding, then, take us into the text of Psalm 6, the first of these penitential psalms that we're going to talk about in our series, Pastor Peppercorn.
All right. Psalm 6 was the appointed psalm for yesterday, for Ash Wednesday, which is why it's a great, great psalm for us to be praying and meditating on today. Psalm 6 begins, it's a psalm of David. It begins with this phrase, O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. My soul is also greatly troubled, but you, O Lord, how long? So it begins by already we're starting to see this sense of law and gospel. O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. This is a prayer that God would not treat us as we deserve. What I deserve, according to my sinful nature, is sin, death, hell, punishment. That's what I deserve. I may not like that. It doesn't make me happy, that's for sure. But that is the reality. And as we'll see the psalmist recognizes this in his own life, that his own sinfulness has caused him this great distress, physical troubles galore. And so he's asking that God not treat him according to the law, but that God do something wonderful, that God be gracious.
All right, when we come back, let's talk more about that, because this notion of grace, I actually had someone contact me several years ago when we were talking about the Old Testament, and they contended that there was no concept of grace in the Old Testament. It was kind of a merit-based system, and then grace only came with Jesus Christ. They even cited a passage from John's Gospel, the law was given through Moses, grace and peace came through Jesus Christ. Well, is there grace for those who pray penitentially in these psalms? Not only today in Jesus Christ, but even for those who prayed them first in Jesus Christ? Stay tuned. We'll talk more about the penitential psalm. Psalm 6, Pastor Todd Peppercorn is our guest. 10 more minutes after this.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
The cross is always relevant. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church.
The CLCC has produced a new seminar to help people understand the structure of LCMS churches. So many people today are unaware of their church polity. This seminar can be downloaded for free from the CLCC website, www.theclcc.org. This is available for a seminar, a self-study, or presentations. And think about joining us. Members can download the PowerPoint version for free. Visit us today at www.theclcc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the penitential psalms. Psalm 6 begins, a series that we begin today with Pastor Todd Peppercorn. We'll run every week for 7 weeks, taking us through the season of Lent. You can join us. Questions or comments? Our in-studio email address is talkback@issuesetc.org. You can call us 1-877-623-6943, or you can Twitter us at @IssuesETC. I mentioned before the break that some people consider grace. You mentioned it right before we went into that break, that the psalmist is praying here that God would be gracious. Some would mistakenly believe that grace is not really in view in the Old Testament. At the best, it's kind of a hollow hope for the future. What do these psalms teach us regarding that?
The psalms teach, really all the psalms, not only the penitential psalms, but the psalms teach that that grace is God's identity. God is love. I mean, that's really what grace means, is undeserved love. And so I think it would be pretty hard to read the Old Testament at all without finding God's mercy and grace. But that is a tragically common view of the Old Testament, is that the Old Testament is all law, it's all works, and then when Jesus came, then everything became basically licensed. Then you can do whatever you want. Well, that's neither law nor gospel. That's lawlessness. That's a mess. But what these scriptures hold up, first of all, is the truth of God's law, of the reality of what I deserve, and then secondly, they hold up the truth of God's nature, that God is gracious, that's who He is, that's His identity, and if we forget that, well, we should just toss the whole thing out the window and go play golf, because there's no point otherwise.
The final verses of the psalm are rather curious. They don't sound much like penitence or repentance anymore. They sound curiously like they're not even directed at God. Depart from me, all you workers of evil, for the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies shall be ashamed and greatly troubled. They shall turn back and be put to shame in a moment. What is the psalmist saying here?
Well, what he's saying, and this is one of the misunderstandings about the penitential psalms. The penitential psalms are not only about my mourning over sin. The penitential psalms are really about my mourning for sin and God's mercy in forgiving me. And what those verses are doing, in kind of an interesting sideways fashion, is that they're holding up the reality of forgiveness in the eyes of others. This is the law always accuses, and Satan loves to use the law to accuse and to try and draw us away from God's mercy. Of course, one of his great tools is either wittingly or unwittingly using other people. That other people are very good at pointing out my faults. People do this all the time. We sort of excel. We're experts at pointing fingers at other people and other people's faults. And so what the psalmist is getting at here is, look, I don't have to be ashamed in the presence of my friends or of my enemies. I have nothing to be ashamed of, not because I'm not a sinner. I am a sinner, but because God is merciful, that God has covered me with the blood of his Son. And because I am covered in his blood, I don't have to cower. I don't have to be afraid of any kind of consequences. I may face consequences here on earth, which I think we'll talk about as we kind of get into these penitential psalms more. But I don't have to be afraid. I can stand upright because I'm baptized, because I am God's child, because He has forgiven my sins. So get away. This is that great hymn, Jesus has come and brings pleasure eternal. Satan, you wicked one, own now your master. Jesus has come and brings pleasure eternal. That's really the notion here.
You can almost call these, at least from the example we've had here in Psalm 6, these penitential psalms, you can almost call them psalms of discomfort. You mentioned it before that for the psalmist here, this is a tangible, a very physical reaction he claims to be having to not only his sin, but also to those times where he remains unrepentant for his sin. Talk about that, if you would.
Yeah. Sin is not simply a kind of a mental state. Sin has real consequences. It can have physical effects on my body. I often compare sin to a cancer. Cancer is the kind of explosionary growth of certain cells in the body. And this is what sin does. Sin is always trying to expand. It's always trying to take over. It worms its way into relationships, even kind of comes out in my own body, in physical problems, in everything under the sun. So you know, you see this in 6 and 7. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows weak because of all my foes. That's the level of impact that sin has on us. It has so ruined us in the fall that the sense of God's good creation is marred nearly beyond recognition. But this is so important for us to hold up when we talk about these, is that we don't end in wretchedness. We don't end here. This is not the final part of the story. The final part of the story for us is, yes, all of this junk is happening. Yes, I recognize my sinfulness and all of the brokenness of my life holds all of this up. But God is merciful. God is faithful. God forgives. That is the core of his being, is that he loves me. And if I forget that, then the whole thing is in danger. And so that balance, that emphasis has to always be held up, even when we pray these psalms. Is I can mourn my sin, but I always mourn my sin with an kind of one eye on the resurrection.
Now, make this as clear as you can. And we talked about it a bit here already. When it comes to the forgiveness of sins, what was the psalmist's hope for forgiveness? Was it simply in kind of a blind trust that God could possibly be gracious, or that he can't ultimately hold my sin against me because he's so good? Was there something specific to the hope that the psalmist who prays these prayers of penitence, was there something specific to that hope and assurance of forgiveness?
Oh, of course. He is praying toward God's nature, toward God's promises. And this is I'm glad you bring this up, Todd, because this is really important. The psalmist is not just kind of willy-nilly tossing out an idea here. He is praying to what God himself has revealed is his nature, that he is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, that he will not do this forever, but that he will forgive. And so when he prays, verse 2, be gracious to me, Lord, for I am languishing, he knows that he is asking God to be God. That's essentially what he's doing. Be who you have promised to be. Forgive my sins. And then he gets this answer, verse 9, the Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer. The Lord, we can almost translate the Lord recognizes my confession. The Lord knows who he is and has given me what he has promised to give. That is the key. That is the point.
We'll continue our series on the penitential psalms next Thursday with only about 15 seconds. What's in store for us, Pastor Peppercorn?
Next psalm we're going to look at is Psalm 32. Psalm 32 kind of continues down this road, and it has this great line, you are a hiding place for me. Do we hide from sin, or do we hide in Christ?
Pastor Todd Peppercorn is pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Kenosha, Wisconsin. He's author of the book, I Trust When Dark My Road, A Lutheran View of Depression. You can download it for free at issuesetc.org. Look forward to our next conversation. Todd, thank you.
Me too. Talk to you soon.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk to St. Louis Post-Dispatch columnist Colleen Carroll Campbell about the influence of various media and entertainment on our boys. The psalmists pray forward to
the one who provides the grace and mercy of God. They pray forward past their own sins, past their own iniquity, past their enemies and their adversaries, to Christ, the Christ that they knew only in promise, but the Christ that they knew nonetheless, who would in time come and provide the payment for those sins. The psalmist calls upon a God who has promised mercy, who has made a covenant of blood, and who will fulfill that covenant in the blood of his own Son, Jesus Christ. They trust that God forgives because not only is God forgiving, he does forgive in Jesus Christ. And so we can pray these prayers as well, with the same confidence, with the same sorrow and discomfort over sin. That's proper, but also with the same confidence and assurance that our sins, yes, even our sins too, have been atoned for by none other than Jesus, our Savior, and he does forgive us. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.